Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus was giving what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And he spoke these words. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Over the next several weeks, we're going to do a series called The Narrow Road. Now, it's going to be a three-part series. I'm going to kick it off today. And then next week, we have a wonderful program that we do every year called The Amazing Life. It's our kids' annual program that they do, kids' service, really. It's not a program, it's just a service that the kids will lead. So all of the kids will be in here next week leading us in worship, leading us in the service. And I want you to be a part of that. Year after year, we've done this service, and we've had a lot of parents turn out, but a lot of people who don't have children here at the church haven't come. So I want to encourage you, if you're here in the building or not here today, but you don't have children, I still want you to come. This is not just for those who have parents who have children here. This is for all of us, for the body of Christ. The children will lead us, amen? Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Don't forbid the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." How many of you know that children can say things that are straight from the throne of heaven that sometimes we can't even hear because there's no filters there for them. There's no, you know, they haven't learned some things that we've learned that we need to unlearn. So please come next week for The Amazing Life. I think it's called The Sweet Life next week. That's going to be awesome. And then Scott Smith and Ethan Bricker will finish up this series the following 2 weeks after that. I want to say this to you today before we really get into this message. Many today, especially in the United States, especially in the Western church, who claim to be Christians choose to either ignore this passage altogether or interpret it in such a way that it allows them to hold on to the things that they are not allowed to take on the narrow road. It's one or the other for many of those who claim to be Christians today. And if you only read verses 13 and 14, which I just read, if you only read those two verses, I could see how some of us could interpret it differently than others. You may have a different view of it or a different interpretation or perception of these two scriptures, because what is wide to some is not as wide to others. And what is wide to some is much wider to others. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm understanding? By your perception, by your understanding, by your life, you can view things differently. People have different perspectives based on their experiences in life. For instance, if you grew up in a family who rarely got to eat out, how many of you grew up in a family you rarely got to eat out? I grew up in a family where we rarely got to eat out, and when we did eat out, it was at McDonald's. So if you grew up in a family like that, then and when you did get to go out to eat, it was McDonald's, then Big Boy is a four-star restaurant to you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, "Man, we're going to Big Boy today. Woo! Daddy got paid." But if you grew up in a family who regularly ate out at like Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and all that, then Big Boy's not so special to you. You know what I'm talking about? Your perspective is different based on your experiences in life. Or, let me put it to you this way. If you grew up in the hollers of West Virginia, any West Virginians here? Any Mountaineers? Can I get a holler? Hey, that's it? I was expecting a yee-haw or something like that. I don't know what they say in West Virginia. If you grew up in the hollers of West Virginia like we have some here today, then you think a wide road is a road where two cars coming at each other can actually pass each other without the other one falling off the cliff. That's a wide road to you. But if you grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, a wide road to you is a 14-lane highway. And even then, you don't want to be on that in rush hour. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Your perspective is different based on your experiences in life. And so I could see how some might interpret what is wide differently and what is narrow differently. The point is, if you don't read the whole word of God, if you don't read the whole passage, if you just take bits and pieces of the word, then you can make it mean whatever you want to make it mean. Hello? How many of you have done that before? I've done it. Oh, this means this. But then when I read the whole word, when Holy Spirit opened up my heart and my mind to the whole word, when I took the whole passage in, then I realized, wow, it's not saying what I thought it said. So let's look at this scripture again, but we're going to read the whole passage here. And not just the two scriptures that I just read. Jesus said you can enter through God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, for the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So let's read on. Verse 15. In fact, let me just stop right here and say, how many of you have your Bible open right now? Who has your Bible open? Okay, if you don't have it open, open it up. Don't just read what's up here. Yes, I'll have the scriptures there, but I want you to open up, okay? Open up your Bible, look at it for a minute. How many of you, if you're reading your version of the Bible, after verse 14, there's like a subtitle or a heading there. How many have a heading there? This one, the next heading says the tree and its fruit. How many says that? Okay, so here's what we tend to do. Because we take the Bibles that we read today in English, and the way it was translated, they put these headings. That wasn't there. How many of you know that wasn't there in the original script? That wasn't there. That was something that we put in to kind of, you know, subtitle different sections and everything. So what we tend to do is we'll read the narrow gate, and then we'll read the tree and its fruit separately. But that's not how Jesus was speaking. When he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, this was all one passage. It was all one thought. It all came together in one meaning. So you need to understand that. So he didn't end in only a few ever find it. He said in verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Uh-oh. So what does this have to do with the wide road and the narrow road? What does this have to do with the wide gate and the narrow gate? Well, I'm about to show you. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. So here he is in this part of the passage. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about beware of those who may lead you astray. Can I say it this way? Beware of those who may tell you that you can do different things that is not in the Word of God. Beware of those who will lead you down a path and say, oh, it's okay if you act this way. Oh, if it's okay if you do these things. It's okay. You can be a Christian and act like this. You can be a Christian and do these things. Jesus is saying, beware of these type of people. You can identify them by the way they act. There's a lot of, and this is not just preachers, but I'm just going to zero in on that. And I'm one of them, so there's a lot of preachers out there. There's a lot of leaders, a lot of pastors out there who say one thing and do another. They'll stand up here and they'll tell you how to act, but they won't act the way that they're preaching. Do you know what I'm saying? I've said this to you many times. Kim and I have said this to you many times over the last 8.5 years. We've said to you, don't just listen to our words. Don't just take our word for it. You go home and you study the Word of God for yourself. Don't just listen to the words that we say. Watch what we do. Watch how we act. If our actions don't line up with the words that we are preaching, you better run. Do you hear me? I'll say this to you right now. If my actions ever get to a point where they don't line up with what I'm preaching to you, the truth that I'm giving you, then you better run. Leave this church. Do you understand me? Don't ever follow someone who is not acting the way they should according to the Word of God. So Jesus is warning us here, but it comes together. Watch this. Because here's another subtitle, True Disciples. I don't know if yours says that, but mine says that. Well, just throw that out. Just keep reading, okay? Verse 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen, but only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Do you hear that? Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. You can call yourself a Christian and not be one. Christian means like the anointed one. That's what the word actually means. Like the anointed one. You can say you're like the anointed one. I can say I'm like the anointed one and not actually be like the anointed one. It's not about what I say, it's about what I do. It's about how I follow him. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do actually do the will of my Father in heaven. Now listen, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. He goes on. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. Can I just go back and reemphasize what God's saying here? What is Jesus saying? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, that's a follower of Jesus Christ. If you listen to his teaching and you follow it, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now here's what he's promising. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and beat against the house. What he's saying to you is if you follow my words, if you follow my teachings, the rain's going to come hard in torrents and the flood waters will rise and beat against the house. And can I just show you once again that Jesus is not promising a bed of roses if you follow him. We just read earlier, it's a difficult road. This narrow road is difficult. And he once again is doubling down and saying, listen, I'm just telling you, if you choose to follow me, it's going to be hard. Rains are going to come in torrents and flood waters will rise and beat against the house, but you're going to be okay. But in America, we want that comfort Christianity. Give me that comfort Christianity. Give me that place that I can go and I can worship for about, 15 minutes until my legs get a little tired, until I get tired of singing that same chorus over and over again, until I get tired of singing about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Give me a place that will just soothe me. I can go in and it just soothes me and makes me feel better about myself and I can go home and keep living the way I'm living. Give me that comfort Christianity that tells me, man, that if I just put a penny in the plate, I'm going to get $1 million next week. Give me that comfort Christianity that just makes me feel good about myself. That's the world we live in. That's the country we live in. We've turned this thing into this comfort Christianity where it's more about a country club than it is about a church that's ready to rise up and stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ and proclaim the truth of God's word. And it doesn't matter what happens to us, we will not move from this rock. And Jesus is telling us this. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. Then he says in verse 26, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on the sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the wind beats against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. See, to better understand this passage, it's important to define the symbolism involved in this particular teaching by Jesus. See, he, Jesus, is the narrow gate. Yes. Yes. Jesus is the narrow gate. Jesus is the narrow road. He is the narrow road. He is the way which every person must travel to have eternal life. If you want to take part in that marriage supper of the Lamb, then you have to travel the narrow road. You have to be on the narrow road. In John 14, 6, for example, it explicitly notes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only life. There's no other way. It's not Jesus and this or Jesus and that. There's no coexist here. It's only Jesus. Well, if he's a loving God, then why isn't he okay with us believing in these other things? Because it's only Jesus. There's no other way. I'm going to show that to you in a moment. But you need, I love how Stefan said it last week in his Real Talk when he said that Jesus is the only life. Jesus is, there is no life outside of Jesus. How many of you understand that? There's no life outside of Jesus. You may think you have life. You may think you had life before Jesus, but you didn't. And if you leave Jesus, there will be no life. He is the only life because he is life. He's the only way. And so the limiting factor here is whether a person will believe in Jesus and him alone. This is the limiting factor. Will you believe in Jesus and him alone? Will you believe that he is the only way? His way is the only way. It's not his way plus some of your way. The reason so many people take the wide road is because it's so easy. It's so easy to take the wide road. There's no such thing as easy Christianity. Do you understand that? It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as easy Christianity. Christianity and easy don't go together. How many of you know that? They don't go together. The wide road is easy. The wide gate is easy. The narrow road is difficult. Who just said that? Jesus. We just read it. Come on, y'all. Are you with me today? Jesus, we just read it multiple times, said that the wide road is easy. It's easy to travel the wide road, but the narrow road is very difficult. Are you getting this today? All right, look at Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and this time I want to read it from the Message version. The Message says this, Jesus said, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Can I just stop right there and say, so look at this for a minute. Everybody look up here and look at that. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Does that not sound like America today? Does anybody watch TV? Anybody on the computer, on the internet? And you see all these easy, surefire ways to become a millionaire. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see those things? Oh, you can practice this. You can do this in your spare time, and you can get a $7,000 check this week. Anybody seen that? I promise you, you can do it. And then they show you all the checks laid out with all the money that they get each week, and they're doing it in their spare time. Anybody ever been in a multi-level marketing company? Anybody ever done that? Amway? You know what I'm talking about? Any of those type of things? Multi-level marketing. Only like 10 people in here. Are you sure? Or you just don't want to admit it? Come on, y'all. You know you have. I did it. I did Amway. Anybody do Amway before? Did Amway. Just draw circles. That's all you have to do is draw circles and you'll become a millionaire overnight. Right? Just draw circles. They're lying. I drew so many circles, I got cramps. And I didn't make a dollar. I spent a ton, though. Somebody above me was making some money. I know it. Somebody who got in this thing right off the bat. They were like the founders of it. They're making millions. I'm drawing circles for them. The market is flooded with this. This is really what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is what the world will sell to you, that it's easy. Don't fall for that stuff, he said, even though crowds of people do. Then he says this, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said this to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Look at somebody, say, give up your own way. You must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Look at somebody else again and say, give up your own way. You need to get this down deep today. All right? You need to get this down deep. Give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Let me say it to you again. Is anything worth more than your soul?
No.
Nothing. Doesn't matter how much you gain. Again, back to what we were singing about. I find it interesting. I remember in my life, when, before this really clicked with me, before it got down deep in me and things changed, I remember I would just, in worship services, I would just be like, you know what I mean? I'd worship for a little bit, excited, yahoo, what are we excited about? I don't know. And then when something changed in my spirit, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? I can't sing stuff like that. I can't sing lyrics like that. I can't sing songs like that without just this excitement building up inside of me, bubbling up inside of me. I did a wedding last weekend, and they're probably on their honeymoon. They're not here, are they? Anybody know? Carla and Jacob, probably not, but I did their wedding last weekend and done a lot of weddings over the years, but it's always fun to me to stand there with the groom right before we go out. You know what I'm talking about? You probably, I don't know if you know that. How many of you have been a groom before, right? You know what I'm saying? Like you're standing there, it's just crazy, man. The nerves and the excitement and all of that. But the most beautiful thing last weekend in this wedding was we had rehearsed, you know, we do a rehearsal. We rehearsed and we did it a few times the night before, and then the real thing happened on Saturday, and Jacob was standing there like this, and I'm standing right behind him, and as soon as Carla turned the corner, he started bawling, just hands to the face, shaking. And I'm crying now because that kind of got to me, not just because of the beauty of him seeing his bride, but I thought about Jesus. And Carla was crying, and Jacob was crying. And don't you know that's what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds? The groom will be standing at the end of the aisle, bawling his eyes out because he's been waiting for thousands of years for his bride to come. That's you. That's you. And I just feel like we should have that anticipation constantly bubbling inside of us. Am I wrong? I mean, it should be constantly bubbling inside of us. It should be what drives us. That we don't take our focus off of him. We don't take our eyes off of him. So Jesus is saying, is anything worth more than your soul? He's saying that the narrow and the road and the narrow gate is only for those who are willing to surrender all and follow me. You must surrender all to enter through the narrow gate. Everything. Your ways, your control, your stuff, your will, your mind, your emotions. You must surrender all. All means all. All means all. There's not some hidden meaning here. It means everything. Everything. So I've got a little illustration for you, and I want to show this to you today. Maybe this will help us understand a little bit here. This is our stuff. This is pre-Jesus. So I got just some things here for our stuff. And so we come to Jesus with all of our stuff, and this is Jesus. This gate representing Jesus, the narrow gate. And we come to Jesus with all of our stuff. And most of the time, we want to enter through with all of our stuff. Yeah, I want Jesus, but I got to bring this with me. I want Jesus, but let me in, Jesus. Hold on a second. I can make this work. Hold on, Jesus. If you'll just grab this box right here. Here, Jesus. We want to enter through the narrow gate, but we don't want to unpack anything. We want to enter through the narrow gate, but we don't want to give up our own stuff, our own way. our own mind, our own will, our own emotions, the things that we've been carrying around for so long that are so important to us, our way of life. You mean you're going to tell me that I have to give up somebody that I love? You mean I have to give up somebody that I love in order to enter through this narrow gate? That can't be God. That can't be the right way. Ooh, listen to me today. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you today. Because we live in a country where Christianity is now all inclusive. You can be however you want. You can act however you want. You can love whoever you want. And that's what they say. To God, it's a perversion. But in our world, we're calling it love. You mean I have to give up this person I love in order to enter through the narrow gate? I'm going to show it to you in a minute. So if you're getting mad at me right now, just listen. The word of the Lord is speaking to your heart today. You mean I have to give up my stuff? You mean I have to give up that job? You have to give it all up. Jesus said, surrender all. Give up your own way. Take up your cross. That means we have to let go of everything and enter through the narrow gate. It's the only way. You can't bring it with you. You can't bring it with you on your terms. I'm going to show you something in a minute about that, but I want to read this scripture in Matthew chapter 19. Because Jesus kind of drew our attention to this, back to this passage in Matthew 7. He drew our attention to it a little bit in Matthew 19. He was with his disciples, and it says that someone came to Jesus with this question. He said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Listen to his question. It's important. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, why ask me about what is good? I love how Jesus answers this question. Many people miss the answer here because Jesus is turning it around with his answer. Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. Then he says, but to answer your question, and he goes on, but don't miss what Jesus said here. Because remember what the man said. He said, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. Jesus is saying, it's not about what you do. You can't do enough good deeds. With the one little answer of why ask me about what is good, there's only one who is good. He is answering the question and saying, there's nothing you can do that is good enough to get you through this narrow gate. Nothing. It's not about what you do, but listen to what he says. He says, but to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. So this is confusing to some people because some people go, he just said, there's not one who is good. So some people, if they miss that, they would think Jesus is saying, you can do enough good deeds because if you'll just keep the commandments, you can get through the gate. That's not what he's saying. Watch. He's not saying you can do enough good deeds. He's saying, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which one? The man asked. Listen. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how many of you, before I go on in this, how many of you think Jesus knew the man's heart and knew his whole life before he even asked the question? Yes. Jesus knew, right? He knew this man. He knew what was about to happen, but Jesus was trying to get him to see it. He was trying to get him to see it in his spirit. He was trying to get him free from the lies that he was believing, from the things that he had a hold of. Now listen, so he says all those things, and the man says, I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else must I do? And then Jesus was about to get to the point. Ready? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. See, this man approaches Jesus, and he just wants to find out what's the next step for me to do. What must I do? And Jesus is saying, it's not about what you do. Let me just cut to the chase. It's about who you follow. It's not about what you do, it's about who you follow. Can you just look at this with me? Let me ask you this. Is selling all your possessions one of the Ten Commandments? No. Is it anywhere? Is it a commandment anywhere? No, it's not. So why would Jesus continue on if this is what he was really trying to do, is get him to follow the Ten Commandments? Then why would he continue on with sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor? It's not one of the commandments, because he wasn't continuing that thought. It wasn't about what you do. He was trying to show him it was about giving up everything and following Jesus. He, pay attention to what Jesus is really saying here. He's saying, which commandments did he mention? How many did he mention? Look at him again. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not lie. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so six commandments he mentioned, right? Okay, six commandments. How many commandments are there of the ones that we, 10, right? Okay, but there are other commandments, right? What are the two most important commandments? Anybody know? This is a test. Love God, love people, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as? Okay. So, he only mentioned six of them. Would you, for a moment, just take a look at the six commandments? Can you not murder? Can you not be a follower of Jesus and not commit murder? Yes. Can you not be, maybe I'm not wording this right. My grammar's really bad today. It's okay. Can you not commit adultery even though you don't follow Jesus? Yes. Can you not steal even though you don't follow Jesus? Yes. Can you not lie even though you don't follow Jesus? Yes. Can you honor your father and mother and obey them even though you're not a follower of Jesus? Yes. Can you love your neighbor as yourself even though you don't follow Jesus? Yes. Those things can happen. I know a lot of people who are not murderers and they're not liars and they're not thieves and they love their family and they honor their father and their mother. I know a lot of people who do all of those things, but they're not followers of Jesus. Are you listening? Jesus was getting to the point. It's not about what you do, because there's a lot of people out there that do all of those things. But the thing is where the rubber meets the road is you're come to this gate with all of this stuff, all these possessions, all your control, all your own ways, and there's so many people that refuse to give all of this up and follow Jesus. They want to take this through the gate and follow Jesus, or they just want to stay on this side of the gate and follow Jesus. But you can't have it that way. You got to give it all up and step through the gate and follow Jesus. And he was making this point to the rich man. You keep looking for this formula, and I'm telling you, there's not a formula. There's only one thing. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. But you can't serve him on your terms. You can't serve him with your stuff and your control and your ways and your will and your mind and your emotions. Yeah, but I thought you said God gave us a free will. He did, but you got to surrender it to him and then trust him to lead you and surrender your will as you're following him on this path. Jesus said, then come follow me. Let's continue on with this scripture, this passage. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, they ask. How can this happen? It can only happen through Jesus. You can't do it on your own. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. You have to surrender everything and trust him. He saved you not of your own good deeds or of your own hard work or the things that you've done. He saved you because he died on a cross and shed his spotless blood, and then he rose again on the third day and ascended to the Father in heaven. And it's only because you believe in him as the Son of God, you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, that you are saved. It's the only way. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. And Peter said to him, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" And Jesus replied, "I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important now will be greatest then." I'm telling you right now, Jesus is saying you got to give it all up. Yes, everything. Everything. Give it all up. Surrender all and follow him. Many people today are like this rich man, and they either go away sad or they convince themselves that they can be saved by living on this side of the gate. What must happen is surrender all to the king. Matthew 10, 37 through 39, Jesus said this, "Listen, if you love your father or your mother more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. And if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will find it." Again, I go back to this. There are a lot of people in this world today, especially in our country that we're living in, that want to say, yeah, but this is the lifestyle that, you know, God made me this way. So this is my lifestyle. So I should be able to live this way and still follow Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, you have to give that up. If you love that lifestyle more than you love Jesus, you're not worthy of being his. Is that what the scripture just said? Come on, y'all can agree with that. Is that what the scripture just said? I'm telling you, we're living in a world right now, we're in a time, real crucial time in history right now. We're living in a time right now where we need to stand up and proclaim the truth in love. In love, we need to proclaim the truth. There are millions of people who are being deceived into thinking that they can live on this side of the gate however they want to live. And it's not true. There are churches, dozens of big denominations who have totally swung that way to say you can live however you want. I'm just going to say it all out there. I know that we're already taking flack for this, but I'm going to say it. You cannot live in an active homosexual lifestyle and be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't. It's clear in the scriptures, many times over, clear. Well, Jesus never spoke about homosexuality. Yes, he did. He spoke about sexual immorality many times. And it covers all of that. So you're saying that Paul, and the multiple times that Paul spoke about sexual immorality and homosexuality, you're saying that Paul was not truly a follower? Was he a false prophet? Let me say it this way, because some people, boy, they're just like, they just shut me off. So let me say it like this, because some people will get on their chair and cheer for this. You cannot murder babies and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, and I appreciate that you're all behind that, but you should be just as behind the homosexuality as you are the abortion. Do you hear me? Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. And I expected that cheer for abortion because, man, but listen, millions of people are going to go to hell. They're on the wide road and they think they're on the narrow road. And they're on their way to hell and they're being deceived and we're not helping them by turning our face and going, well, I don't want to tackle that subject. I don't want to talk about that subject. We should just love them. We love them. Yes, it is the goodness and kindness of God that draws men to repentance. But we also have to speak the truth of God's word in love and kindness. We have to tell them they're on the pathway to hell. We can do it in a loving way. We can say to them, God doesn't hate you, but he does hate the sin. Just like I was a thief and an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I was vile and I did vile, disgusting things. God didn't hate me, but he hated the sin that I was committing. And it's okay for us to say that to people. So now let's go back to Matthew 7:14. And I know I've taken a long time in this message, but I'm almost wrapping it up. Back to Matthew 7:14 from the Message version. Again, I want you to see this again. Put that back up there. 7:14 from the Message. So look at the last line of this. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. See, let me do it like this. On the other side of this gate, is a narrow road. So you come through the gate, Jesus. Say Jesus. He's the only way. And then you're following Jesus on the narrow road. So these 2x4s down here represent the narrow road. Whew, let me see if I can do this. It's like a balance beam. I'm about to do a backflip with a twist and a 180. Oh, it was close, wasn't it? It was close. All right. So you're following Jesus on the narrow road, okay? And it just takes concentration and focus. Whew. You see, I can't even look at you. I do have a little dizziness issue right now, but that's okay. And as you're following him on the narrow road, you got to be laser focused on Jesus and on where he's going. And while you're on this road, you can't be distracted by the things that might be happening to the right or to the left of you. Because the enemy's going to put a lot of things in your path to try to distract you. Wow, this is difficult following Jesus. This is hard. It takes total concentration. It's vigorous, and I'm just having to stay focused so hard. And man, it's just hard at times, and I get weak and I get weary. And I just want a break. And I just want it to be easier. And so we look, and there's the enemy putting something in our path off to the right or to the left of us. Now, it won't be on the road. It can't be on the road that Jesus is following. But there it is. Oh, wow, that would be nice. That would be helpful. You know, I know it might look like stealing, but I've worked for this company a long time. And I've been following Jesus, and he said he'd rebuke the devourer, but I don't see any rebuking going on, and I'm struggling right now. And what's just a few dollars from the till? That's not going to hurt anything. So you pick up this thing, this distraction, and you try to put it on, but it's going to pull you off balance. You think it's harmless. Bill, how do you know this? Because I've done it. I've done it. I was in the place in my life, I was following Jesus, but we were struggling to make ends meet, and I took some money that didn't belong to me. Now, it hasn't happened in the last 8.5 years, so you don't have to fire me, okay? It's okay. I've been good so far. I'm just kidding. I'm over that now, but early in my walk with the Lord, I'm just telling you, the enemy's going to put things in your path, try to distract you. Jesus promised us, his word is that this road is narrow and difficult. A lot of times we see it as this wide pathway, but I'm telling you, it's more like this set of 2x4s here. It's more like this balance beam following Jesus. Focused on him. Now, the farther you go on this road, the longer you walk this road. Oh, this is good. This is not even in my notes, but this is Holy Spirit right here. Ethan, the longer you go on this road and the farther you walk this road, the better you get at following Jesus and being able to navigate and turn around and go, come on, it's okay. Come on, we can do this. Come on. I know it's difficult right now, but it gets easier. It does. It really does. You get better at this. You get better at following Jesus. Rod, am I telling the truth? You get better at it. Yeah, it's still difficult. It's still a narrow road, and you still got to stay focused on him, but you can turn around and help others. Here's the thing right here. A lot of people, they start on this narrow, right through the gate, right out of the gate. They start on this narrow road, and they want to go, come on, you could do this, come on, and they want to be an evangelist, and they want to disciple people and all of that, and they haven't even started. Look at that. I'm getting all off the, get back over their road. And they get all messed up because they're trying to turn and help people and do all that. I've told people many times, when you first become a Christian, just learn how to be a follower of Jesus. Quit trying to do so many things. We tell people this all the time here at the River. When you come here, just learn how to be. Just learn how to be. Just learn how to walk this narrow road with Jesus. And eventually, you'll be able to help others. You'll be able to disciple others. The road is vigorous, and it requires total attention. You can't be distracted. You can't load yourself back up with the things. Can I say this to you? Because some people are, this is something I was going to say earlier. I was going to bring my messenger back. I'll just do it like this. Some people, you come to Jesus and you got all this other stuff, and you're like, well, I have to leave it all on this side of the gate. Actually, there are things that Jesus gave you, that Jesus gifted you with, that Jesus blessed you with, even before you started following him. How many of you know that? Hello? Yep. You didn't just receive the gifts that he created, and you didn't just receive them as you came through the gate. He created you with those gifts. Do you know there are people out in the world today that aren't following Jesus that are exercising or using the gifts that Jesus placed in them, that he created them with? They're just not using it for his glory. You ever meet somebody, boy, they just knew about people, and they knew about things, and they're a prophet, and they don't even know it. God created them that way, and they're not using it for the kingdom of God. So there are a lot of times we come to the gate, and we think we just have to drop it all. No, here's a lot of times what Jesus does. Like this is the finances that God blessed you with. Man, God gave you a business mind. He gave you this amazing way to mind to be able to do business and to make money and be profitable. And he gave you that, and you made all this money, and you come to Jesus and you think like the rich man, I got to sell all my possessions to give to the poor. What Jesus is saying there is you need to give it up. Give up your own way. Give up your own possessions. So what he's asking you to do is just hand it through to him like this right here. Hand it through to him. Put it in his hands right there. Jesus, that's yours. And then walk through the narrow gate, free of everything, and then Jesus will tell you what to do with all of that. But a lot of people want to bring this through and hold on to it. Mine. No, I worked hard to make this, Jesus. I worked hard. You can't tell me what to do with it. That's why a lot of people want to give to the church, but they want to tell them what to do with it when they give it. Ooh, hello. Are you still awake? Have you checked out for lunch already? I hear it all the time. I've had people come to me and say, I want to give this big gift to the church. I'm like, okay, awesome. Praise God. Yeah, I feel like God's telling me to give this big gift. All right, great. Give it. Do it. Go. Yeah, I want to give it, but what do you need? What's the church need? Well, we need a lot of things. Just give the gift. No, I want to know, what am I going to give it for? And immediately, I know, as soon as that starts to go down that path, I know they want to have control. I want to have control about what I'm giving. If God told you to give it, you give it. And you let him be concerned with the control of it. If God's telling you to, I'm not talking about just the church. If God's telling you to give a gift to your brother or sister in Christ, if God's telling you to give, how many of God has told you to bless somebody? They told you to just bless them with finances or a car or a house or an airplane or, I don't know, I'm just joking. Just, who has an airplane? Anybody got an airplane? Okay. Boat? God tell you to bless me with a boat? I'm just kidding. It's a joke. See, that's going to be on YouTube. No. If God tells you to bless someone with a gift, and the first thing you start to think is, what are they going to do with it? Well, they're not responsible with their money anyway. Like, they wouldn't be in this condition and need this gift had they been responsible with the money they had. That's the enemy speaking to you. If God told you to give a gift to somebody and that's what you hear, you need to take authority over that thought, take it captive and cast it out, and just go and write that check and give that gift to that person right away. But if you're wanting to, I'm going to give them this gift. Hey, I'm giving you this gift and it's for your rent and only for your rent. Then you're not giving the gift with the heart of God. You're giving the gift with control. You still got a hold of this like this. All right, I'm going to be done. Y'all are looking at me like, I got it, Bill. I got it. Shut up already. Ephesians chapter 2. I gotta give you these scriptures before I leave. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God. Right here, guys. This is a gift from God. You hear me? This is a gift from God. By grace. Not of your own doing. Okay? But watch. All right? It is a gift from God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. You didn't get through this gate because you were good enough. You didn't get through this gate because you did enough. You didn't get through this gate because you followed all the commandments. You didn't get through this gate because of how hard you worked. You got through this gate because Jesus made a way where there seemed to be no way. He made a way in the desert, in the wasteland. He made a way. Rivers of living water flow through you now because you entered through the gate, the narrow gate, the only way to the Father. Once you're through the gate, now listen, once you're through the gate, you must be diligent about staying on the narrow road. Narrow gate, narrow road. See, a lot of people confuse that. They're going, well, Jesus, I didn't do this on my own. Thank you, Jesus. You made, got me through. Now, Jesus, just take me on the road. Carry me, Jesus. You know, that like that poem where there's footprints in the sand and you didn't see any? That was Jesus carrying me. Well, you don't see any of my footprints. Jesus carried me the whole way. All the way to heaven, all the way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus just carried me. That's not how it works. You got to walk the narrow road. It's vigorous and difficult. James 2, 14 and 15. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? James 2, 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also is faith dead without good works. You must follow Jesus. You must walk the narrow road with your own two feet. You didn't get through the gate on your own way, and you're not going to be able to stay on the narrow road on your own way. You're going to need the power of Christ in you. Amen.